All right, I'm Andrew Christensen, and I'm 24.
All right, question number one. What kind of student were you in high school? Were you a jock? Were you a nerd? Were you a straight-A student?
I would say I was, I like to call myself an athletic nerd.
Okay.
And so I did quite a bit of sports. I was track, cross country, and then ski team while I was there, but I maintained better grades than my brother.
Was it a competition?
No, not so much of a competition. No, it was actually funny. I actually originally tried to do basketball while I was there. And I remember there was a tryout day. There was something like 250 people all trying to be on the freshman basketball team. And so I did not make that, but I was trying to do that because I didn't want to do ski team because I didn't want to have the exact same sport lineup as my brother did.
Oh, you're just trying to differentiate yourself?
Trying to differentiate, yeah. But then I ended up, you know, going and doing the exact same stuff he did. But I wouldn't say it was really ever a competition.
Yeah.
I think Alex just didn't like to put in as much work. He didn't really, you know, find as much interest in it.
All right, fair enough.
Early on.
So you had good grades in high school?
Yeah, pretty good grades. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any funny or interesting stories about getting into trouble as a kid?
No, I wasn't very good at getting into trouble, actually. I was definitely more of a goody-two-shoes type of a kid. I don't know if I even have any good stories about that.
Do you have any good stories about your siblings getting in trouble?
I mean, when we were really young, Alex used to get into all sorts of fights with people.
Oh, really?
When we were in, when he was in kindergarten, he used to pick on like a little girl in his class.
He's gonna love this story.
Oh yeah, he's gonna love it. Yeah, he used to. There's a little girl that he used to always pick on. And then she went and started taking martial arts lessons.
Uh-huh.
And then started picking on him.
No way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. Alex, I apologize in advance for that. That's great.
All right. I heard he told some pretty good stories back at me. So.
Yeah, we had a good time in Utah. He's a good guy. We told lots of stories. I learned way more about the family than I was expecting to. So listen to the podcast. There's some good stories there for sure.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Let's see. What was your favorite memory of your parents from when you were a kid? Did you have favorite family traditions or favorite meals or something that you guys used to do a lot of?
Well, you know, I think with like my mom for meals, it's her homemade lasagna. With my dad, I think, you know, we went on a lot of trips. So a lot of my memories, that are kind of about the family dynamic are going to be kind of involved with the traveling we did.
Sure.
That's
my next question.
Yeah. We didn't have too many family traditions. We kind of developed one with my dad, of doing a Christmas dinner every year. Going up to Big Pink and having like a nice dinner up there and doing, that was all on Christmas Eve.
What's Big Pink?
Big Pink is, there's a big building downtown. It's one of the tallest ones in Portland and it's, all got pink, glass windows. And so it's just colloquially known as Big Pink.
Oh, I've lived here my whole life. I've never heard that. Interesting.
Yep.
Do you guys do that on Christmas?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve.
So you were talking about your mom making lasagna. Let me ask you a question because I did ask Alex. Is your mom, I don't know what the word is. Does she really like eggplant?
Eggplant. Well, she grows it.
Is that why? Because we were talking on the family reunion. I think I only came over to your parents' house like maybe three or four times for dinner. And I want to say like three out of the four times we were there, we had eggplant. And I remember like leaning over to my wife and going, what's the deal with eggplant? Every time we come over here, we have eggplant.
That's funny. Yeah, I bet it's because she grew it.
Okay, that makes sense. I just remember having a lot of eggplant at your house. And I'm not a huge eggplant fan, so I just thought it was funny.
The one I remember more growing up was the zucchini. There were years where we just had like an overload of zucchini, and it was just in everything. I mean, we'd have it in soups and bread and, you know, roasted. And it's like a Forrest Gump, you know, with the different types of shrimp.
Right.
That's kind of how I think of zucchini now.
My dad used to grow zucchini too. And I the same thing. It used to be in everything, like, oh, spaghetti sauce and salads. And I think it's pretty easy to grow in Oregon. So
yeah.
All right. So what was your favorite family vacation as a kid?
Oh, gosh, the favorite one. It was almost certainly one of our Europe trips. The one where we went to Italy as well.
Is that the one where you went with Uncle George? Or is that a different trip?
No, that was it. Yeah. Well, he actually came. No, he came on the second one. He was trying to come on the first one, and I don't think he made it.
So who all, how old were you when you went to Europe?
I was pretty young. Let's see. It was when I was going into fourth grade. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, however old that was.
So are you able to appreciate Europe as a fourth grader? I mean, that's pretty young.
Well, what was cool about it, because there's a lot I think that I probably wasn't able to appreciate, you know, all the historical parts and stuff like that. But we also got to go and visit all of our family in Italy.
Sure.
And visit the family castle that's there. And I think that was probably my favorite part, was just getting to meet the, you know, side of the family that I haven't met very often, and appreciate that, you know, our family expands more than just what's in the U.S.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I mean, we have a big family in the U.S. and yeah, right. It expands borders, right?
Yeah.
So what did you do in Europe? So talk about that Europe trip a little bit.
Yeah, so we came in and we went, I don't know if I remember the order that we went to everything. I know we went to Italy. We did Rome, Venice, and Florence. And we also did like the countryside in Tuscany. And then we went over to France. We visited Normandy, and Paris, and it's kind of the countryside around Normandy. And then we went to, we went through Austria into Germany. And it was just a really cool trip, getting to go throughout, you know, all the different areas, and just kind of see how the different cultures are different, as you kind of go throughout Europe. Cause it's just interesting, cause it's kind of more of a compressed space, but there's so many different cultures that are really, distinct throughout it.
I mean, it sounds like an amazing trip, but I could also see that, you know, maybe as a fourth grader, it would either be overwhelming or boring. I mean, there's a lot of history, like you said, a lot of history and culture, and a lot of times those things are lost on fourth graders, but you were able to enjoy it.
I was definitely able to enjoy it. I remember there was a lot of walking that we did.
Yeah.
But no, I think it was that one kind of, I still remember a lot of parts of that trip, just as being, really, really interesting and really different from what I was used to.
Well, is there one thing that stands out the most? Like, this is way different than what I'm used to in the United States.
I remember when I was in Rome, I remember being able to go down, like we would walk down a random alley and then all of a sudden you'd just be face to face with, you know, something that was 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
And like, you just don't get that here, where it's just
the entire history of the United States is 300 years old, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. So what was your first job after high school? Like, what was your first non-fast food job?
First non-fast food job. Well, I mean, after high school, I went straight to the academy. So I was military. I guess that would probably be the first one. But when I was in high school, I worked in summers doing landscaping, and I worked for the pumpkin patch like the rest of my siblings.
Oh, yeah. What sort of, what do you do at a pumpkin patch?
We were kind of the jack of all trades. Some people, you know, stuck more to the cooking area or more to the market spot, but we did a lot of the field work and weighing pumpkins for people. And one funny thing about pumpkin patches is if you ever see pumpkin patches or pumpkins in a field and they're not connected to the vines, the workers have not gone and cut all the pumpkins off the vines. They were actually just laid out there by the workers, because all the pumpkins in the patch would get sold in the first weekend or first couple of weekends that they grew, and then they would have to bring in all the pumpkins from other farms, and then we would just go and walk out in the fields and put them all out in the fields.
Oh, so the pumpkin patch would be sold out completely, and then you would have to like basically go back and like just put pumpkins on the ground so people could come and have a pumpkin patch experience.
Exactly. Yep.
So you're like a the Easter Bunny of Halloween or whatever. You're just planting pumpkins in a field.
Exactly right. Yeah. That's a funny way of putting it.
Wow. So that, I mean, that's got to be pretty seasonal, right? Just around Halloween, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just for, I don't know, probably 5 weekends, 6 weekends.
Yeah. And then what did you say your other job was?
During the summers, me and my buddy would do landscaping. So we would go and, yeah, just find a bunch of people that wanted their yards worked and weed them and mow them and stuff like that. That's more of a kind of fast food type job, though.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, that's a good first job, though. I mean, you actually have to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely both those jobs taught me, I guess, the value of manual labor making minimum wage. It's a lot of work for not a lot of money.
Yeah, my first job was at McDonald's, and you know, it was a shell shock. And I remember the manager came to me one day, and she was like, "Yeah, can you come in tomorrow at 4:30?" And I was like, "Sure, I don't have anything going on tomorrow night." And she was like, "No, 4:30 in the morning." And I kind of looked at it like I was it completely blew me because I was 16. Like, it blew me away. Like, what do you mean 4:30 in the morning? Like, you're not open. Why do I need to be here at 4:30? Yeah. Oh, we got to unload the truck and do all this. So I had to go home and tell my parents, like, "Hey, he drive me to McDonald's at 4:30 in the morning tomorrow so I can unload this truck." Uh-huh. That was like a real eye-opening event. Like, oh crap, there's a whole other world that goes on even when these places are closed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
So, let's see. Your dad has 5 brothers and sisters. You have 2 mm-hmm. brothers and sisters. Do yep. you want to have a big family yourself? Do you want to have no kids? Where do you land on that spectrum?
Yeah, just based on what my girlfriend and I have talked about, what we really want to do is probably have 2 kids of our own and then potentially adopt 2 more, have a family of like 4 kids, and kind of do it from there.
Does your girlfriend have siblings?
Yeah, she does. She has one brother and 2 sisters.
Okay, so she's got kind of a big family, and so do you. Okay, so you're all right. Good deal. All right, so talk about your girlfriend. What's her name?
Her name's Greta Kowalski.
Yeah, and where did you meet your significant other?
It is a funny story, actually. So she's from Tennessee, and so one of my best friends from the academy, they're actually siblings. My best friend is her brother, and basically, the way that whole thing happened was after we graduate, they give us 60 days of leave. And normally we can go and take that and go travel and do whatever we want with that. Which is, you know, kind of it's the grace period between when we finish the academy and we really, you know, go to our bases and start working. And so we had this big trip through Europe planned, and then COVID happened.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, everything got shut down. We weren't able to go out of the country. And the military said, okay, you can go to one location and you have to spend all 60 days at that location.
Okay.
And my next base was going to be in Florida. And so if I wanted to go and spend those 60 days all the way back up in Portland, I was going to have to move all of my stuff, all of my belongings up to Portland just to move right back down to Florida. And I was like, well, I don't really want to do that. And my buddy who's from Tennessee, goes, oh, well, why don't you guys come over here? It's great. You know, our family has a whole extra, like, you know, guest house that you can stay in, and they would love to host you. And so me and one of my other friends, so there are 3 of us that were staying there. We all went down there for the 60 days, and that was where I met Greta. So it was kind of funny because, yeah, she's the sister of one of my best friends from the academy.
So... She's not in the military.
No, she's not in the Air Force.
You're friends with her brother in the Air Force, and you just happen to meet her
while I was staying at her house. Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, that is crazy. Uh-huh. So you're at your friend's house for 60 days. COVID's going on, so you can't go crazy and do, you know, anything. So what do you do for 60 days when you're holed up in somebody else's house?
Hmm. Well, so they have quite a few acres. I don't know how big it is. So it is a big property. And like a bunch of dogs and that kind of stuff. So we were able to, and they have a river that runs through their backyard. So it was actually one of the most fun summers I've had in my life. Cause we were, you know, they've got like a rope swing that goes out into this river. All kinds of land. We set up a volleyball net, and we actually, there were how many people? We had like 10 people living in this house at the same time. So we were able to, you know, like recruit entire sides of volleyball teams and play. We went canoeing down rivers, went hiking. And it was kind of a smaller town, so there just weren't as many people. You didn't have to worry quite as much about social distancing because there just wasn't the big crowds.
So how did you actually meet Greta? You just like, hey, we need another person for volleyball, and like she comes out, or what's the story?
Yeah, so it was the first night we were there. I mean, she was actually trying to study for the MCAT. She was trying to be a doctor at the time. And I absolutely distracted her the entire summer. But yeah, we were playing pool, and we were she and one of their cousins was down there. And so they both ended up teaming up with me and my other friend from the academy that wasn't her brother. And we did, you know, teams playing pool. And so
pool is the most seductive of games. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
That's cool. Let's see. So who's your parents' favorite child?
Yeah, I know. I know who my siblings think it is.
I'm curious if you jive with what they said.
I don't know. Yeah, I know why they say it's me.
Well, at least you own it.
It's not Alex.
No?
I'd say Julia puts gives me a run for the money, though, being the oldest.
Yeah?
You know, she was the guinea pig going into everything.
Yep.
But I'm the most social of them, and so I think that lends me to being, you know, thought of as being the most favorite. But
yeah, I didn't really know Alex or Julia until we went on the family. I mean, I see him at Christmas, and we've talked for, you know, maybe 3 minutes or so. So going into this family reunion, like, I did not have much of a relationship with them, but we talked a lot at the family reunion. I really like both your brother and your sister. I walked away from that experience. I don't know what the word is. Pleased. I mean, it was cool to talk to them, you know, just because they're interesting people. And yeah, I think you're right. They're definitely a little quiet. Like, it took me, I think it was like day 2.5 before, like, I had more than like a 3-sentence conversation with Julia.
Yeah.
Alex and Julia and I came up with this list of questions to ask everyone. And I wasn't sure if it was going to work, you know, like, I don't know if, you know, are people going to want to talk to me? Like, I'm not even really a member of the family. Like, I've married into it. Like, are people going to not want to talk to me? Is like, I only had my cell phone there. Like, I don't even know if it's going to like sound good if I just put it on this table. Like, you know, it may not work. So we came up with this list of questions, and I asked Julia, I said, hey, I need a guinea pig. Do you want to just like go sit at this table and we'll talk and we'll see if my phone picks it up? And I was a little nervous. I'm like, cause she doesn't talk very much. And I was like, oh no, like this might be like pulling teeth, or it might be over in 5 minutes. And like, she talked and talked and talked, and she had some really good stories. It, like, when it was over, I was like totally blown away. I was like, wow, this is not the same person I was talking to 2 days ago. So she kind of came out of her shell. It was kind of nice.
Yeah. Once you get them talking, they start talking.
But yeah, for sure. They both did say you. It was pretty funny. So for what it's worth, all of your dad's brothers and sisters all said George too. Like, there was no competition. It was pretty funny. So
yeah.
All right. So we already talked about your significant other. So let's talk about your college experience. So you got out of high school and went right into the Air Force. Is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so you're a high school kid. What makes you want to join the Air Force?
I just thought it was going to be a really cool opportunity to, I guess, kind of get to do more leadership type stuff. That was a big part of it for me. Also getting to work with kind of technologies in a sector that a lot of people don't know anything about because, well, it's, you know, it's, you're working with information that's not open to the public.
Sure.
And I thought that was cool. Just getting to know stuff like that other people don't necessarily get to know, and doing a lot more leadership type work. I know I did Eagle Scouts and or Boy Scouts, and I was an Eagle Scout when I was in high school, and getting that leadership experience, I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, that was going to be my next question, because Gabe is just about to get his Eagle, and clearly that whole program is geared towards leadership. So would you say that helped you out in the Air Force?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It's funny because there's so much about it. I remember being frustrated while I was going through it, especially, you know, dealing with younger kids and like, man, these kids aren't capable of following instructions. It's ridiculous. Yep. And then you go and you get into like the real Air Force and you're like, oh my God, people still aren't able to follow instructions.
Gabriel, so really, if you're listening, Andrew is saying the exact same thing that you tell me every single day. So
yeah. It's real life experience. I mean, that never goes away.
Yeah. So, I mean, you talked about being into technology. I mean, I think I've talked to you and Alex a little bit about, you know, technology. So technology is kind of what got you into the Air Force.
Yeah. It was definitely technology and leadership were the two big ones.
So, what kind of technology do you play with, or do you get to do in the Air Force? That's cool.
Yeah, well, now I'm working in, I'm going through cyber training. So getting to work with a lot of computer stuff, understanding both how to attack and defend networks. A lot of that stuff is probably going to go over a lot of people's heads. So I'm not going to try to go into it too in detail, but you get to work with a lot of information. I mean, information.
You're talking about like cyber warfare and cyber defense, yeah. Right? Protecting the internet and servers from foreign countries kind of thing?
Yeah, well, it's from all sorts of things. Sure. I mean, it's some of it's from other countries, but a lot of it is also from independent actors.
I work for an internet provider, and yeah, I do a lot of that on a day-to-day basis. I mean, we're not a huge target, but it does happen every now and then. And so, yeah, I get what you're saying. That's cool. I didn't realize that's what you were doing. So that was going to be my next question. Was you were originally going to be a pilot, right? But I heard that changed, and now you're doing like cyber defense stuff now instead of pilot training.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide not to be a pilot?
Yeah, it was something that, you know, I kind of had decided I wanted to do towards the end of my time at the academy. I didn't want to pass up an opportunity like that because most people, you know, never get an opportunity to go and fly military planes. Right. I mean, they're just kind of exceptional aircraft. We were able to pull 7 Gs.
Wow.
Flying, you know, the first aircraft I ever flew. It's incredible. You know, you get to do loops and fly formation with people. You just don't get to do that on a day-to-day basis. And so I was like, oh, well, I can't pass this opportunity up. I can go and do cybersecurity stuff later on. And so that was kind of why I initially went into it, was because I didn't want to pass up that experience. And it really was incredible going through it. But it was something I didn't really necessarily want to do every day for the next 10 years. And that was kind of how the commitment works, was I would do a 5-year commitment doing most things, but then because of the pilot training and the cost that goes into that, and they want to retain you once they've put that money into you. So sure. After you finish pilot training, you get a 10-year commitment. And it takes about 2 years to get through pilot training. So it ends up being about 12 years that you have to spend in the Air Force.
Right.
And I didn't want to necessarily spend that long doing something that I didn't really want to do forever.
So it was just more of a commitment than you were ready for?
Yeah. A commitment to doing something that I wasn't really wanting to do.
So what's the commitment like on the cyber defense stuff you're doing now? Clearly not as long.
Oh, no. It was 5 years from when I commissioned, and I've already served 2 of them. So I only technically have 3 more years.
Do you think you'll stay in long term, or are you going to transition to the private sector?
Eventually, I'm going to transition to private sector. Right now, I'm probably going to – I'm trying to instruct at the schoolhouse that I'm at right now. And so after I get done with this, I'd instruct for about 2 more years. And then I would go on to follow-on training for my job. And so I would end up probably wanting to do a couple of years operational as well. Probably end up spending about 7-8 years instead of just the 5.
So where does that, so you're 24 now, where does that put you at the end of 7 or 8 years?
I'll be like 29 or 30.
So you'd be, yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. And the nice thing about that is it sets me really, really well up for the private sector as well. And I'll probably still continue to do guard and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But I can have a civilian job while doing that as well.
My brother worked for the NSA, and he actually worked at the NSA when Snowden was there. And when the Snowden stuff was going on, like I kept sending him IMs. I'm like, hey, how Snowden is he, just breaking your siblings' balls like you do. Uh-huh. And he called me one, like just out of nowhere, he called me on my cell phone and he never calls me. And he was like, look, I know you're just trying to be funny, but you got to knock this stuff off. I'm like, what? He was like, I'm telling you, dude, they listen to everything. Like if they even think that I sort of kind of maybe worked with that guy, I'm going to be in deep crap. So I was like, okay, uh-huh. All right, I get it. But anyway, what I was going to say was, yeah, he worked for the NSA for a long time, and yeah, he transitioned to the private sector, and now he works for Lithia, the car dealership, uh-huh. and he does, yeah, all of their security and essentially, that sort of stuff. So it worked out really well for him. So mm-hmm. yeah, it sounds like you're on a good track. So good for you.
Yeah.
So Air Force, thumbs up, has been good for you, you would say?
It's been really good. I mean, the nice thing about it is having that, I think, a guaranteed kind of like path through the initial part of finding a job. Because I think that's what the hardest part is for a lot of people these days. You know, you get done with college and then you're like, oh, now I need to find a job, but I don't know what job to find.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of places want you to have experience before you start working for them. And that's the nice thing that the Air Force does is, oh, well, now I have like a guaranteed job for, you know, the next X number of years and it's going to get a ton of experience so that when I do want to get out, I'm going to have all this experience going into the private sector. Yeah. It's been great.
Cool. Good for you. So that was, what was your college experience like? We got that. All right. I've got like 1.5 questions left. So, what was the worst thing you ever did to one of your siblings or that they did to you? Do you guys ever pull pranks on each other?
We were just talking about this actually earlier today. So when I was really young, and I don't really remember this. I know my brother and I got in a fight and he scratched my eyeball and I had to wear an eye patch for,
oh geez,
I don't know how long. And then the one I do remember
is that before or after the girl in kindergarten learned karate?
That must have been before. Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering if he was taking out his frustrations on you.
Oh, I definitely, yeah, I was the punching bag of my siblings. and my sister, we all got, they were like battery powered little cars. Uh-huh. So they're really heavy. Had motors in them and batteries and whatnot. And, I don't remember why Julia was throwing them at me, but she was. And, I got hit in the head by it and it totally sliced open my scalp.
Oh, geez.
And she was devious and managed to convince me to hide it from our parents.
Oh, wow.
I also, they used to always team up on me. And I know we had snowball fights as kids and they would go and act really nice and be, oh, we'll make your base for you. And they would literally design it with flaws so that the entire thing would collapse if they pushed in certain areas. And so then, and then the two older siblings would team up on the little kid.
Terrible.
And yeah, and then push over my entire fort on top of me. It was horrible. Let's see what else. Oh, I'm sure you've already heard the bucket of water story. We had a play structure at our.
I want to hear your side of this story though. Yes, absolutely.
Oh yeah. We had a big play structure and there was one swing on it that was kind of the most desired swing. It was like, it kind of hung over an open space and mm-hmm. so you had more freedom. It was a lot of fun. And, so Julia would always get that one cause she was the oldest and she would just, mm-hmm. fight for it. And, but then one day they were being really nice to me and, oh, do you want to swing on this nice swing? And I was like, oh, of course I do. I never get a swing on the fun swing. And so I was all very excited about that, just living my best life. And little did I know that it was really a plot that Alex and Julia had concocted where they were up on the top floor of the play structure with a giant bucket of water. Damn. And my sister was guarding the back of it with a squirt gun in case I tried to chase up and go after them.
Oh, wow. They had this well planned out. Huh?
They had it well planned out. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then they dumped this entire bucket of water. I mean, I don't know how old I was. I was really young. It was like, I was like 4 or something like that. I mean, really a little kid, like a whole bucket of water was a lot of water at the time. Yep. And I remember just getting drenched and being so unhappy. I did not try to get up the play structure. I ran back into the house.
Yeah, did they get in trouble for that? Do you remember?
No, they did not get in trouble for that. And my sister really, she's the mastermind behind all these plans is really what it comes down to. And so then after that, she totally played innocent on it and blamed my brother for the whole thing. And then managed to convince me to freeze a snowball over like a 6 month period and to get back at him, throw the snowball at him. I mean, like she was, you know, she just was working this from behind the scenes to get us both in trouble and, you know, make enemies of one another. She absolutely is the mastermind behind all of the pranks, I guess, if you want to call them that.
That's a Machiavellian of her. Wow.
Yeah, she was pretty good at it.
That's the last official question I have. Are there any stories or is there anything that you want to get on the record that I didn't ask you or I should have asked you?
Well, there was one thing we were talking about, which was a story of one of our trips to Costa Rica. And this is kind of a story about my dad's it's ribbing my dad a little bit. So whenever we would get to a new hotel when we were in Costa Rica, we went to a bunch of different ones as we kind of went throughout the country. And this one that we went to had this beautiful pool in it. And they all pretty much had really nice pools. And after we were done driving, we would always want to go to the pool and it would always start raining. And super big disappointment. Well, this one that had this nice pool, I don't remember what my mom was doing, but for some reason she wasn't able to come down immediately. And my dad's like, oh, I'm sure this rain's no big deal. We'll just go down and hop in the pool. And it's like, starts thundering and lightning as we're in this pool.
Oh, no.
And he goes, oh, no, it's just the clouds. I'm sure it's nothing. and there's like giant bolts of lightning. You know, they're cracking off every couple of seconds. And we're just hanging out in this pool. Meanwhile, all of the employees, you know, are talking Spanish. And going, what the hell are these crazy Americans doing in this pool? You need to get out. This is not safe.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, my dad, of course, not able to speak Spanish, has no idea. He's completely oblivious. Just, you know, having fun, drinking his beer in the pool. We had all ordered drinks sitting in the pool during this lightning storm.
Oh, you guys lived, so.
My mom came running down as the lightning and just firing down all around her and screamed at us to get out, but it was pretty funny.
Awesome. Well, the last half question I have is there anybody interest? Is there an interesting story in the family or something that you've heard that maybe would be worthwhile that we get recorded? And if the answer is no, then that's fine. But I'm just want to give everybody an opportunity to say, oh, hey, you know what? I heard about.
No, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you've got a busy day. You're off to a wedding, I heard.
Yep, later today.
All right, that sounds great. Have an excellent afternoon. Thank you, Andrew.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate you putting all this together. I'm sure it's going to be really valuable and everyone's going to really appreciate it, having these all these stories documented. So it was a really good idea.